Imagine going to work tomorrow, undercover, pretending to be someone you're not, in a line of work that you don't really know. Sometimes you've got a hidden mic strapped to you, and you're recording the guy you're having lunch with to try to convict him.
No, they thought we were just mafia.
They thought everybody is a mafia. Yeah. That's the problem. They thought that's what they got to deal with. That's
and imagine thinking every day, if the people I'm recording knew who I am, they would kill me.
I'm not the mafia.
This was Rick Cowan's situation for 2.5 years. He was a New York City detective investigating organized crime's control of the garbage collection industry. One day, at the office of a legitimate businessman named Sal Benedetto, one of whose trucks had been firebombed, a thug from a crooked firm turned up, and Sal introduced Cowan as Cousin Danny. Cowan and his superiors decided he should play the role of Cousin Danny a little longer to gather evidence on the mob. Rick Cowan had played other undercover roles, buying drugs, dressing like a biker, using theatrical makeup, drawing tracks on his arms to be a more convincing junkie. But his role as Danny Benedetto, as told in the book Takedown, which he wrote with Douglas Century, was one that required incredible concentration.
I'm used to being on the street and, you know, thinking things on the fly. I very quickly tried to do my best to learn the aspects of the garbage business and the ever-fluctuating paper recycling business.
Next, you had to be a plausible relative of the Benedettos, some of whom had gone to high school with other people who were in the business, who'd known them for years. How'd you do that?
Well, I learned by writing a little tree of the Benedetto family and trying to understand who was whose father and uncle and sister and brother. And that was quite a hurdle because there were so many of them. It was a very large Italian family.
At one point, you're having I'll play the tape that you made at that time when you're having a conversation with somebody who is questioning your authenticity. Who is this guy? Who are you exactly? And he's asking, is your name Benedetto, really? Let's hear a bit of that, and you tell me what's going on.
You know, hey, Joe, you know, I wasn't, you know, I'm a little younger, and I speak my mind, and I...
You're actually Benedetto.
Yes.
Your last name is Benedetto.
Benedetto. I mean, I am one of the Benedettos.
You have been on your license?
Benedetto, yeah.
Now, give me your license, and let me go phone. You have to give me no phone call.
And I have tried to do the right thing, and it's, you know, I mean, I belong to a gym, it's my name, I mean...
You're showing him your gym membership there, I guess.
Yes, the gym membership I got on my own. I didn't get that through the police department.
They provided you with a driver's license.
Driver's license and some other credentials for the role, for identity purposes.
Dan Benedetto.
Right.
What's going through your mind at that moment when somebody is expressing skepticism about who you are?
Well, I knew when I went to this meeting this was going to be the situation. I knew I was going to be pressed on this issue. I mean, I was extremely nervous. I'm being questioned by a very fearsome guy in this industry. This guy was personally inducted into the mafia by John Gotti, Joseph Francolino.
Or Joey Cigars.
Joey Cigars or Joe Duffy.
As a result, the consequences of this conversation, this interrogation, this could be your life.
It could be.
We have tape recordings of your... of your investigation, of your conversations, because you were wearing a hidden recording device. And more than once, as I read it, somebody pats you down to see if you are wearing a recording device. Those must have been pretty scary moments.
There were times, and they would do it subtly most of the time. Hey, Dan, how are you? And these guys are emotional, affectionate. They would embrace with a kiss or a hug sometimes, or they would put their arm around you when we're going for a walk or having a conversation. And they, at times, they were suspicious for whatever reason. They were raised up, and they would just casually, instead of their hand being on my shoulder, they'd move the down towards my back or pat me on the back. And it was very unnerving to have this happen. I had one occasion where the guy, I had been around for several months, I paid him an extortion payment, and he suddenly reached out to grab my groin and forcibly tried to grab my groin. And I grabbed his wrist an inch away from the Jaybird device that I was wearing. He said, "I have to make sure you're clean."
Yeah, he was.
Because he knew what he was doing was illegal. He was a careful old timer.
Tell the story about, is it Tidewater Joe Benedetto?
Yes.
Who is Tidewater Joe Benedetto?
Tidewater Joe is a relative, obviously, of the Benedetto family. It's a large family. He left New York in the late 70s. He came back to New York in 1994, and went to a golf outing sponsored by the garbage industry, and ran into some mob-connected guys that I knew. He, not knowing me, anything about the role, and not knowing about the investigation, mentioned that he didn't know a Dan Benedetto in the family, but he was certain that there was no Dan working at the Brooklyn transfer station. These guys raised a lot of eyebrows. The mob grapevine being what it is, word traveled very quickly. And that went back to Joe Francolino, who called me to that, you know, scary night that you played before.
Throughout this time, although you did have an apartment in Brooklyn, I gather, that you were staying at often, you were also going home to Staten Island to your wife. The two of you had your first child together, completely independent of your workaday life as Danny Benedetto.
That's right.
How can you do that? How did your wife handle that?
Well, it was very difficult. She was working at the time, up until the time we had our son. But as the undercover role expanded and got more involved, the Dan Benedetto role, that expanded and caused the Rick Cowan's personal life to get a lot smaller. I started going to less and less family functions and things with my friends, like Super Bowl parties and things of that nature.
Your wife didn't know anything about this?
She knew I was an undercover, certainly. I was taping wires and buying gauze and tape all the time. She knew this was different due to the long hours. She started to be, she thought maybe I would be having an affair. I would come home, put a suit on, and get ready for another nice night on the town. And she thought instead of going to meet whoever I was meeting, that I might be meeting, a girlfriend.
You had suddenly turned into a natty dresser for this job.
More jewelry and nicer clothes, the silk Italian clothes.
In the book, Takedown, there are lots of photographs. We see lots of faces of the people whom you were meeting with and recording and testifying against. We don't see your face. It's blacked out. We don't see your face on the book. Your identity is still problematic for you. You can't be publicized.
No, the way repercussions from the case, the department has taken precautions to set up some roadblocks to make it difficult for people to find out where we're living. My wife has more sense of security living this way. But we go about life. We don't fear for our lives. We're careful, and I'm a very observant person, and we live a low profile.
Well, Rick Cowan, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Detective Rick Cowan, who is the author of Takedown, The Fall of the Last Mafia Empire.